Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Investor Conference Call for SUCHS Lloyd Limited, hosted by Orient Connect. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. The statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Jhanvi Patil from Orient Connect. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you. I am Jhanvi Patil from Orient Connect, representing the investor relations team of SUCHS Lloyd Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for joining us for the H1 FY26 earnings conference call. I'm pleased to introduce the members of the management team present with us today: Mr. Santosh Shah, Chairman and Promoter; Mr. Satyakam Basu, CEO; and Mr. Vicky Kumar, CFO. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Shah for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jhanvi. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone, to our earnings call for the second quarter and half-year ended September 30, 2025. I'm the Executive Chairman and Managing Director, and I am joined today by Mr. Satyakam Basu, the CEO, Mr. Vicky Kumar, the CFO for the company. Our performance for the half-year had a strong finish, driven by our work in power T&D, solar EPC, and our high-margin products. We are growing fast and executing well, which is exactly what we promised during our IPO. Our financial results are excellent. Revenue from operations was 123 crores, nearly doubling last year's number, with 94% year-on-year growth. Our profitability is just as strong. EBITDA grew by 91% to 18.88 crore rupees, and the profit after tax jumped by 94% to rupees 11.82 crores. Our diluted EPS stood at rupees 5.10 for the half-year. Now, I would like to address two key structural updates which underline our long-term commitment to growth and stability. First, the board has approved my transition from non-executive director to the combined role of Managing Director and Executive Chairman of the company. Second, the management is actively working on plans to align the promoter ownership structure. I would also like to clarify that we are absolutely committed to fair play. We completely reject any attempt at preferential deals or private shareholding arrangements outside the regulated market. We ensure all our shareholders are treated equally. Coming to our operations, our success comes down to how we operate. We have several key advantages. First, we use integrated digital platforms to manage all our projects. This infusion of technology helps us with real-time tracking, leading to reduced project timelines and reduced costs. Second, the majority of our team have more than a decade of experience in their relevant fields, and they come from top-notch companies in those respective segments. I would also like to emphasize that 40% of our staff are graduate engineers, giving us the technical expertise required for execution excellence. Third, our strongest asset is the pool of trusted contractors we have built over time. This empowers us with the ability to mobilize at sites immediately. This directly feeds our track record of nearly 99.8% on-time deliveries. To put on record, the cumulative liquidated damages deducted from Sooks Lloyd till date has been only 0.016%. To enhance our eligibility to bid for bigger projects, we are actively making arrangements and tie-ups with certain public sector undertakings. These arrangements will help us meet the stringent pre-qualification criteria required for high-value government tenders. We are also actively working on improving our working capital cycle. We want to bring it to 4 to 4.5 times from the current of around 3 times. The debtor realization has been taken on a war footing basis. Various new tools, new software has been developed to monitor the movement of each and every bill submitted by the company. Also, to support our growth, we plan to increase our working capital limits from rupees 125 crores to 250 crores, for which we are already in discussions with banks and expect to conclude very shortly. We have also decided that company will be publishing quarterly results to keep our investors updated regularly. We are proactively addressing the concentration risk by diversifying our market exposure. Currently, Bihar accounts for approximately 60% of our order book. Though we have a robust track record with zero payment delays from Bihar, to mitigate risk, we are actively seeking and targeting projects in the states like Punjab, Delhi, Odisha, Maharashtra, Gujarat, UP, trying to increase our footprints and revenue contribution from these regions. As on date, we have started working in these states, and we are looking to increase the number of projects in these very states. This will also support our goal of achieving a top line of rupees 1,000 crores by financial year 2028. While government solar project accounts for 99% of our order book, we are increasing our focus on commercial and industrial market. This shift is expected to further improvise our working capital cycle. Now to the most important part, that is innovation, technology and R&D, which is in our gene. We are in the process of upgrading our existing flagship fault passage indicator. Our R&D team is developing a new compact fault passage indicator that achieves 99.99% accuracy. Critically, this new version detects low earth leakages, conductor snap faults, it measures three-phase voltages, and provides secured data accessibility from anywhere. These advanced features are currently not available even with global giants like Siemens, hence giving us a significant competitive advantage. The outlook for fault passage indicator and our other niche products is extremely strong. driven by government's focus on reducing APMC losses to 12%. The market is also supported by RDSS scheme with an outlay of rupees 1.5 lakh crores. In fault passage indicator and niche products, we have a strong pipeline of tenders worth rupees 120 crores. Our R&D team is also developing medium voltage switchgear, targeting a market opportunity of rupees 4,500 crores. We are in the process of supplying our first medium voltage switchgear on a pilot basis in one of our 33 by 11 kV power substation project. Team is also working on dry compressed air ring main units, which is latest technology that is environment friendly as it doesn't use the unsafe SF6 gas. This product targets a substantial market opportunity of rupees 38,000 crores. Our 21% associate company, Vina Electric, has successfully launched consumer electrical and lighting products. The overall market is very supportive. Power transmission and distribution demand is driven by schemes like RDSS with an outlay of around 1.5 lakh crores, the national transmission plan of rupees 2.4 lakh crores. As on today, in power transmission and distribution segment, we have a tender worth 480 crores. We have got tenders worth 480 crores at final stages. In solar, we have started bidding for battery energy storage system, that is BESS project, which opens a new door for massive future opportunities. We have over 158 crores worth of solar tenders at final stages. I would like to say we have a strong financial momentum, plenty of opportunities and the right team to achieve our rupees 1000 crores revenue goal by financial year 2028. With this, I would like to end my session and open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So, what is the management aspiration of becoming a mid-sized EPC player, like 15,000 to 2,000 crore revenue timeline and key capital? Like, you have told 1,000 crore by FY28. Like, can you just give it brief, right now? I think so what I can see is in aspect 25, the revenue is 175 crore. So they're almost a 5x type of a jump in 3 years.
Amit, if you can just repeat the question, we couldn't.
See, what I can see, sir, the revenue which I can see is in FY 25 was 175 crore. Am I correct, sir?
Yes.
And the management is giving the guidance of almost 1,000 crore by FY 28. So, can you just really briefly, FY26, FY27, what would be the guideline, what would be the targets?
Amit, thank you. Because of these regulations, we may not be able to comment on the exact figures for FY26 and FY27. But what I can say is the kind of momentum which we have maintained over last 2 years, the same kind of momentum will be maintained. If you can extrapolate the things, you can see that we are going far beyond 1,000 crores with those momentum. Plus, as I said in my session, that we have got plenty of opportunities available and our eligibility to bid for bigger projects is also increasing. At the same time, the kind of team we are having which is capable of executing such projects. So we are fully geared up and all the factors are in our favor to achieve the goal which we have set for financial year 2028.
And sir, does the company also plan to enter new verticals like smart infra, EV charging networks, IoT solutions, or grid automation tech?
As on date, we do not have any such plans because in the existing sector, we have got plenty of opportunities available. And the niche product segment where we are into, which is our gene into R&D, there also we have got huge opportunities to further diversify the product range. So as on date, we want to stick to our core business.
Thank you, sir. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Rajesh Singla from VTG Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, audible, sir. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for arranging the conference call and a good set of numbers and very good opening remarks and the discussion so far. A couple of questions specifically on the niche product segment. Sir, how big is our R&D team and also what kind of share of this niche products is likely to have in your target of 1,000 crore by FY28? And also, third question would be, that you had mentioned in your opening remarks that you are using a digital platform to manage all the projects. So is this digital platform developed in-house or can we monetize this as well?
Yes, Rajesh, you asked three questions. First question was what is the team strength in R&D team? As on date, we have got around 10 people who are continuously working on R&D and they are working on various products and various developments. Second, you asked what will be the contribution from these niche products in FY2028. We are very confident that this business of FPI and our niche products is going to grow at a better speed than our EPC business. So financial year 2028, we see somewhere around 100 crores contribution from these products in the top line. And your third question was, if you can come again, Rajeshji.
Yeah, so you mentioned about the integrated digital platform. So was this developed, developed in-house and can we monetize this?
Yes, I'd like to explain. We are a technology oriented company where we keep on investing on developing tools and software, etc. for efficient projects. We have developed certain tools which are developed in-house and some services, few tools has been outsourced also. So, but again, these tools are totally brainchild of the team who is working with the company. So we can say these are proprietary tools. As on date, we cannot say that we will be able to monetize it, but yes, later on, maybe 2 years or 3 years down the line, we can explore the opportunity how we can monetize, because the tools which we are making, these are unique tools, and whoever our peers who comes to know about these tools, they have appreciated a lot.
Great. This is one more question, sir, maybe if I can. Earlier you also had mentioned that Vina Electric, which is an associate company of Suggs Lloyd, with 20% share. So right now I think it is in a very early stage of development. We are still testing market. Maybe down the line, let's say in couple of years' time, do we have any plan to merge that segment with SupZoid in the niche product segment?
See, as on date, the Vaina brand which we have launched, it is for consumer segment, and that is a B2C business. Whereas SupZoid will always remain a B2B and B2G business only. Whatever niche products we are having, this will be totally separate from the business of Vaina.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I will get back in the queue. Thank you very much, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Garvita from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. I have just one question, which is on the margins. We see that the company is doing good 16%-15% of margins. Is this sustainable, and what is going to help us to sustain these margins, sir?
Yes. Nice question. My answer will be yes. These margins are sustainable. There are reasons for it. One reason is that our efficiency, the way we execute the projects, the kind of software, the kind of processes which we have developed, it helps us, it improves our efficiency, and we are able to minimize our cost. That caters to such a margin. Second is, once we are growing, our size of project grows. With that, the fixed cost and all those things, it remains the same. We can see certain improvement in margins because of that also. Third, and most important, as we grow, the contribution from our high-margin business, that is niche products, that contribution is going up. That will also contribute in maintaining this margin.
Sir, can you give me bifurcation between EPC business margins and the niche product margins?
See, we can give you a consolidated which is there on the books. I'm not sure whether, as per regulators, I'm allowed to speak on the numbers exactly. The niche products is because of low competition and less number of players. Our competition is with global giants like Siemens and Schneider. We command better margins on those products.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you are. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Firstly, could you give us a bifurcation of the current revenues that we had in the three verticals? What revenues did we earn from the T&D, from the solar EPC, and also from the niche products in the first half of this financial year?
What is it?
38% from power T&D.
Okay.
58% from solar EPC, and 2% from the
For the H1, we are having 38% from power transmission and distribution.
58%.
58% is from solar EPC and 2% from the products.
Going forward, we expect the niche products to go from 2%-10% in FY 2028. What sort of revenues, how do you expect this to scale up? Are we in talks with certain government sectors? Are the developments done? Do we have any commercial orders already received from the niche products? What sort of order book we have just from the niche products right now?
See, niche products, this 2%, it may appear for H1 it is 2%, but if you say for the entire year, it will be somewhere around 8%-9%, and the same figure was last year also. It may be because of bundling of orders and all. It happens that these orders get bundled, and in one particular quarter, we need to deliver all the orders, all the supplies.
Okay.
Because of that, it may appear that we are having 2% in H1, but closing this year, it will be somewhere near to 10%, 8 to 10%. And same thing we expect in further years of henceforth 26, 27 and 27, 28 also. Now, coming to...
Sorry to interrupt, but are you not expecting this vertical to contribute more upwards of 10% going forward? Because we are having a lot of research going on. You're adding new products to this vertical as well. So, with...
Yes, we are very much confident that this product is going to contribute even more. I'll tell you how the development and how what all developments are happening in the market. Today, the total penetration of fault passage indicators in Indian electrical grid is just 10%. Now, as per Indian electrical DISCOM standards, the product is a bit expensive. As time passes, the private DISCOMs like Tata Power and all, they have already tested the benefit out of these products and they are using these products on mass level. Similarly, we are expecting other state governments and they have started following also. Like we have started getting orders from Gujarat, from Noida, from Himachal, from Uttaranchal and other states also. So the entire volume is going to get increased. But yes, the penetration is so low. Slowly, slowly. We cannot see, the jump in just a year or two. Slowly, slowly it will capture, it will come to its level. And maybe after 3 years or 4 years, we'll see it will be huge volume. Today, as on date, we are having a order pipeline of around 150 crores in FPI. The tenders are at various stages. And in H1 or H2, we expect some good orders.
That is great. What sort of capacity do you have in the FPI side, if you can quantify that?
We are highly underutilized as of now because the volume which is there in India is, as I said, it is just 10%. So we can say we are highly underutilized. We have got the capacity of, meeting almost five times of the current demand. With the current setup.
Okay. So, could you quantify the maximum potential from this capacity we can generate from the FPI side?
Sorry, couldn't get you. Can come again, please?
So, our capacity, what sort of maximum revenue it can generate from the FPI production, if you could quantify, if that's possible?
For us, the extension of capacity or enhancement of capacity will not be a problem at all. Because it's not big. Because these are all project-based orders we get and we can enhance the capacity anytime. So capacity will never be a constraint in the business growth.
Yeah, that's great. Secondly, since you said you can't give the individual margin numbers for the EPC vertical and the niche products vertical, but right now we are having close to 15% margins in EBITDA, which is a lot more than other EPC companies clocking in. So any sort of reason why we are having such high margins, and with the new projects that we have in our order book, do we see the similar trend of margins on the EPC side?
Very, it is a very insightful question. I really appreciate. See, the kind of projects which Subs Lloyd is executing is not similar to other majority of the EPC players in the market. Now, there are three segments in which Subs Lloyd is operating. First is power T&D. Now, power T&D is same across all the EPC players. But in power T&D, we are able to have a better margins based on our execution expertise, our strength and our skills. Now, second segment is solar EPC. In this solar EPC, when we say EPC, it is EPC including, it is turnkey EPC, which includes supply of modules, etc., everything. Whereas majority of the EPC players, they work without supply of modules. So this is one factor which is contributing to higher margin in solar. And second and most important factor is we are into execution of projects which is scattered over districts, which is scattered over entire state. and the kind of skill set which is required to manage such projects is not available with major players. And bigger players, they do not want to enter into such segments. Smaller players, they are not able to execute it efficiently. So this is a space where we are operating and we are able to manage good margins. So this is why we are able to get comparatively a better higher margin.
And our current order book is close to 400 crores. What sort of split do we have from the power side, the solar side, and the niche product side? Could you split the order book? Is that possible?
It is 114 crores from power transmission and distribution, 280 crores from solar.
Okay. And we do see...
Thank you, ma'am. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you can rejoin the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Navil from Credent AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yes, you are. First of all, sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, sir, I have a question regarding the order book. So, of the total order book we are having of 400 crores, so can you provide us the breakup for the verticals? Like what proportion comes from the power T&D, what comes from the solar HPC, and what comes from the niche products?
Just now I answered this question. It is 280 crores from solar.
Okay.
140 crores from power. These are the two major sources. Product orders are in pipeline.
Okay, sir. And sir, your the revenue and the profits have grown sharply this year. So what will be the major reasons behind the strong performance?
Strong performance is our abilities, our capabilities, and the market opportunity which is available.
Okay. And sir, one more question about the trade receivables. So we can see that the trade receivables are more than 124 crores. Which is the large portion of the balance sheet. So what is the average collection cycle across key clients?
See, average collection cycle is around 140 odd days, and these trade receivables are, if you say, across the EPC industry, the norms remains almost similar, or maybe say you can say it is average. Then there are even worse conditions also. But even after that, the company is fully geared up to improve this debtor status. Everybody is working. We have developed certain tools, certain procedures, softwares to monitor movement of each and every bill which the company has submitted. So in this quarter, we can expect improvement on this front. Whatever debtors you can see today, these are all from, you can say very high grade customers, blue chip customers, either AAA rated or backed by Government of India. So we cannot see any, or we should not expect any kind of bad debt from these.
Okay, sir. And sir, about the 800 crores qualified bids, which are under evaluation currently. So what is the expected conversion timeline for the same?
See, we should expect conclusion maybe in next, for all these 800, maybe in next 3 months. Within 3 months, we should be able to get the results.
Okay, sir. I will join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Rajesh Singla from VTG Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir. Thank you for taking my question again. My first question is on the order size. So right now, so what is the maximum order size we can get based on our capabilities? And once we execute FY 20
2026, then what would be the largest order which we would be eligible to take on in the coming year? That is the first question. The second question would be, as Bihar is a major revenue driver for us, if you can just highlight a bit about Bihar as a renewable energy market and also, I think the concern regarding the debtors you have already addressed. Anything which you have seen in the past, like what was the payment cycle in the past, and have you seen any delay in the payment in the past, sir?
Your first question was.
The order size capability.
Yeah, order size capacity. See, today, now it depends. It varies on both the sectors. In power transmission and distribution, we are able to bid for around 100 crore projects, and in solar, we are able to bid around 150 crore projects. After this FY 2026, our eligibility for power transmission and distribution will be?
More than 200.
For power transmission and distribution, it will be more than 200, and for solar, we can bid up to any level.
400.
We'll achieve that kind of eligibility criteria. Now, your second question regarding Bihar. See, we have been operating in Bihar since long, and since we have been working, we have got good inroads, good network. Whenever a network is there, we would always like to capitalize over those relationships and all. That is the reason why we are continuously bagging or getting more orders from Bihar and executing more business in Bihar. So far, there has been no instance where there has been inordinate delay from customer in making us the payments. Everything has been on track. Few cases come here and there, but these are just delays. There has been no bad debt, there has been no liquidated damages, nothing. Bihar, we can say, okay, from outside, it may appear to be something not so attractive, but when it comes from EPC point of view, from companies who are going and getting the work executed there, it is very easy because the cheap labor, people are very supportive. They want the development to be done. All those factors contribute in making it easier for us to do business in Bihar, in our segment. Now, coming to opportunities, in Bihar, we see major opportunities in power transmission and distribution. Going forward for solar, the only opportunity which we see in Bihar is rooftop solar projects. Major order which we expect from Bihar will be on power transmission and distribution front.
Excellent, sir. Just follow-up question on Bihar. Now that elections are over and the government is likely to come much more stronger government than the previous 5 years. What kind of acceleration do you see in all these segments where you are operating in Bihar?
Yes. The number of tenders being floated will definitely go up because of model code of conduct, the tenders were put on hold. Certain projects which were at planning stage, that will also get expedited. We'll see inflow of orders. It will coming at a higher speed and more number of business opportunities will be coming from Bihar.
Okay. Apart from Bihar, sir, which other state we can say that we are very strong as far as our capability or market positioning is concerned?
Instead of saying strong, I can say which all states we have got the maximum lineage. After Bihar, we have been working with Odisha. We are working with Odisha on all the fronts, power transmission and distribution, niche products, as well as solar projects also. It is Odisha, then Punjab, we have taken up good projects in a very short duration of time, and we are executing those projects very well. Another state which we see is Maharashtra. Even Gujarat, we are exploring how we can have some, major business from Gujarat. So all these states we are working. You know, what happens whenever we make an entry, once entry is made, definitely all the relationship and all the network starts, building. And based on opportunities and other factors also, we can expect bigger business. So going forward, what we say, Bihar will remain the major contributor towards the revenue, but the percentage contribution will come down from 60 because other states will also start contributing.
Great, Sajay. Maybe so just, I think it is our first conference call. So my last question would be, if you can provide a bit of introduction or background about yourself and maybe the key manager personnel who are maybe in the product development or in the sales. So a little bit of introduction on them will be quite helpful, sir.
Hey, I'm a graduate engineer in electrical with around 21 years of experience in electrical products as well as, projects for business. And then with me, I'm having Mr. Basu, who is an industry veteran Basu Saab, if you are on call, I request if you can introduce yourself, please.
Okay, my name is Satyakam Basu. I'm an engineer with a post-graduation from IIM Calcutta and have worked for now 45 years in various industries, including steel, power, and all the related industries, basically core sector. And I run the company as a chief executive officer, hand in hand with Santoshji, and bring all my experience into the system so that its company can be led to become a proper big conglomerate. Thank you.
So, Rajeshji, rest of my colleagues are there, may not be on this call. But the kind of team we are having, majority of them, the top people, they are having more than, 17, 18 years of experience in their respective fields. Like people who are heading the electrical transfer or power transmission and distribution have been working in this segment for maybe 18 years or 20 years. And they are from top-notch companies like Bajaj, Godrej, L&T, Ashoka Buildcon, etc. So the kind of team which is there, not only the top level senior management team, but also people at execution level or people at managerial level, everybody comes from top-notch companies in their particular segment and with good handsome experience.
Excellent. Thank you very much, sir. Best of luck and I will get back in the queue, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Siddharth Chandrasekhar from SGN Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, am I audible?
Yes,
yes sir, you are.
Sir, my first question is related to our civil order. So, I see in DRHP you mentioned some civil projects that you are working. So in future, you want to continue to bid for such products, or like you want to stick to, power side and don't want to go into civil?
See, the only project which we are executing in civil is also again for a DISCOM, because based on our, performance in electrical sector, in solar sector, in fact, DISCOM wanted us to execute that project for them. So the first project which we are executing is for a DISCOM. We are constructing a 125 bedroom hostel building for them. We are waiting for it to get completed. Once it is completed, we will be having certain credentials for us to bid for other projects. As on date, we are not bidding right now. Once these credentials, these handing over certificate and completion certificates are there, that time we will explore. But again, we will not go bullish on civil, because being an orthodox business house, we want to go slow and steady. First, we want to see what kind of margins and how we can operate in that. And then if everything is as per our expectation, we may go in full throttle in civil also.
Okay. So
So there is no plan to enter into, you know, roads, bridges, all those kind of things, right? So one more question. So regarding in your PPT, you mentioned the smart metering solutions, right? So like when you say smart metering, like are we installing it? Can you elaborate a bit on smart metering part? Because right now the smart metering is going by AMISP, right? So can you elaborate on what we are doing there?
See, as on date, we have got capacity to execute projects on entire AMI, entire advanced metering infrastructure. But as on date, we have got, we were having contracts with Tata Power, we were having contracts with, which got, you know, concluded with DGVSL and one other company, IntelliSmart. And those projects, though the scope of work under those contracts was only installation and then, you know, connection with the network and the commissioning of the project. The HES, MDMS, etc., they were not in our scope.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Imran Khan from HNI. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you tell us more about your bad debt, if any, in the last maybe 3-4 years? Any peak that you have seen or any more color, you know, on the bad debts?
See, we have seen one bad debt in financial year 22-23. That was for 1.18 crores, and that was not from these business like power transmission and so. It was from one business we started that time. It was manpower staffing. So from there was a customer, private customer called Carvi. So there we had a bad debt of 1.18 crores that we had written off. And the arbitration and all, we have won the arbitration degree also, and further we are taking it up. Apart from that, there has been no bad debt in the company.
So no bad debt from the government side, right? Bihar, whether it's Bihar or some other states, right?
As of date, no. I mean, future also we do not see any bad debts, because whatever projects we are executing, even for state government, these projects are funded by Government of India. Under schemes like RDSS. And so when these are funded by Government of India, payment security remains there. Second, whatever projects we are executing are socio-economic in nature. Like the end beneficiary for our project is the voter. So Government remains very alert on these projects. They would never let anything halt the execution of these projects. So our payments are very secure.
Right, right. And sir, out of this 124 crores of trade receivables, how much would be, let's say, more than 6 months old?
20 crores is older than 6 months.
And when do you expect to collect that? Do you think it will take more time? And if you can mention the clients who are, you know, delaying it by more than 6 months?
I would like to further clarify. See, this 124 crores or this 20 crores, what you say, it may appear as outstanding debtor, but it is not due. Because these are retention payments which gets released after certain time once we have completed the project. So as on date, these projects are under completion. Once these are completed, we can claim those retentions. So as on date, we cannot even claim those retentions.
Okay.
That is intrinsic nature of our business.
Right, right. And have you given any target for this year in terms of revenue profitability, or you are not doing that?
We have given the target, so it is there in our DRHP. So, we are in line with achieving those, even to, overachieve those targets.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, and congratulations on the very good set of numbers, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Imran.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Shivam Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead. I'm sorry, but that participant has left the queue. So our next question comes from the line of Naveen Soni. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, I'm audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. Sir, so what's your guidance for FY26 and 27? Actually, I joined the call a bit late.
You are talking of revenue guidance?
Yeah, revenue and PAT margin.
Can you say this? Can you say this number? See, Mr. Soni, because of these regulations, we may not be able to comment on the exact revenue and exact numbers. What we can say is that the kind of momentum which we have maintained in past 2 years, that momentum will be maintained in future also. For next 2 years, we do not see any changes in that. In fact, we can even overachieve those things. So, and we are on track. We are on track to the projections we gave in our DRHP. So, that is what we can say. And as we said, financial year 2028, we expect to achieve a top line of 1,000 crores. That is very much in line. And we are fully geared up to achieve that.
Okay. How much amount of crores is your order book is bid?
As on date, the tenders which has been bid is around 800 crores.
Okay. And conversion ratio?
Conversion ratio stands somewhere around 20 to 30%.
Okay. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jignesh from Jiva Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. To get more understanding on your niche products, since many of these products are provided by Schneider and Siemens big companies, and very few people are willing to move to other small companies. So, sir, what new features are we adding in such products that we are expecting to get good business out of it?
Yes, as I said, I think you joined a bit late. Our R&D team is working on upgrading this fault passage indicator. As on date, the fault passage indicator, what we are using, these are, you know, a combination of fault passage indicator and data concentrator units, which are, you know, which is a bit bulky, and there are various components which needs to be installed on lines and poles. But now the team is working on developing a compact compact FPI. Now this compact FPI will be very handy. It will be a smaller compact, smaller and compact unit. Plus, we are expecting it to be a bit economical for the discoms also. So, and then there will be many other technical features, technical specifications this product will be having, which even Schneider and Siemens are not having in their product line. So, going forward, once we are done with this and these products are approved, we will be having significant competitive edge over these global giants for these products.
Right.
And as on date, you see, we are having more than 50% of the market share for FPI in India.
Okay. So, many of our approvals are already in place, and we are selling this FPIs also.
Yeah, the conventional FPIs we are selling to almost all the states as of now, except the very few states in southern part of the country. This conventional FPI is under development, and once the system is ready, thereafter we can start commercial application of these products.
Right. Sir, it will be sold separately or packaged with our other transmission projects?
It goes both ways. There are many EPC companies who bag RDSS contracts, so we supply these products to those EPC companies also. Whereas certain projects which we buy, which we, you know, we are able to win, and if these products are there, it goes as our EPC package only. Like we can say, even L&T is our competitor, but L&T is our customer for FPI. So we can say Bajaj is our competitor, but Bajaj is our customer for FPI. Ashoka Buildcon is our competitor in power transmission and distribution, but they are our customers for FPI. So it goes both ways.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Rajesh Singla from VTG Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity again. So I just wanted to confirm that the most of the projects which we are doing are mostly central government funded, right? So if I heard you correctly.
Yes. These are either central funded. There is a criteria which our tendering team has to follow. The first criteria is what is the funding arrangement for that project. While taking a go and no go decision, they have to follow it. So the instruction which has been passed is, first, the project has to be either funded by Government of India, or it has to be funded by multilateral agencies like ADB, etc., or it has to be under some deposit scheme. Like in many states, many other utilities, they want to get some projects executed, so they deposit the fund to DISCOM, and then DISCOM executes. So apart from these three criteria, tendering team is not allowed to bid for any third option.
Excellent. Well done, sir. Best of luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for sparing time and listening to us. We really appreciate your contribution and the way you have supported us after this IPO. We are really thankful for that. And we look for our continued cooperation in future also. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Stokes Lloyd Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.